Last week we began Siman Kuf Samach Aleph, and we learned two things, two inyanim, two topics. One is the topic of Hashavas Ribbis, which we're going to continue this week. Somebody, when he took Ribbis, what he has to pay back, and how. Because the Taz, at the end of Taz Aleph, discussed Halvois Hashtarais, we got into a discussion of the lending or the purchasing of promissory notes. And that, I think it's fair to say, evolved into a complicated discussion. I'm not sure that everyone walked away with any clarity at the end. So I'd like to try to clarify, which sometimes confuses, but with that risk in mind, I'd like to clarify by just sort of separating the klal from all the pratim. Mm-hmm. The klal is that the kula dekechidish that we learned last week was that it's mutter to sell a third party's promissory note. If you have a promissory note from a third party, you're allowed to sell that at a discount to someone who has cash, is willing to give you cash for it now. If you have a bond, a $1,000 bond that someone will buy for $900, you're allowed to sell it, les man de palik, la loch, it's certainly mutter, because even though it's, like the Rambam says, nirika ribis, veine ribis, it seems to be ribis. You're giving someone $1,000, he's giving you $900. And why is he doing it? Because he has to wait for payment. Nevertheless, the Torah recognizes that there is a shar hashuk, is a market value for paper, for loans. And therefore, we have this kula dekechidish that you're allowed to sell notes at a discount. You're allowed to sell debt at a discount. And that's a chiddush which nothing we said that became confusing later last week will change, and that's mutter. Yeah, however, 1 minute. However, it's aser to sell your own promissory note at a discount. Obviously, you can't take a piece of paper and write, I owe bearer $1,000, and lend it and sell it to someone for $900. Why can't I do that? Why can't I sell my own promissory note? My own promissory note also has a market value. The answer is that my promissory note doesn't have a market value until it leaves my hands. When I hold the promissory note, it's nothing. To me, it has no market value. So what I'm really doing is telling someone, I'll give you $1,000 if you give me $900, and that's awesome. So therefore, we have this kula that you're allowed to sell promissory notes at a discount. That's a chiddush gadol kula. Most of Hilchas Ribbis is chiddush l'chumra. This is a chiddush l'kula. You're allowed to sell a promissory note at a discount. Those who work in the diamonds or precious stone law field of business do this all the time. As a matter of fact, you have people on 47th Street who, that's all they do. All they do is take notes at a discount. And this is 100% mutter. You're allowed to sell debt at a discount. That's halacha psuka. That's less man de palik. The issue that becomes complicated is the issue of checks, of personal checks. Now, before I get to the issue of what checks are like in the United States, what it says in the Michas Yitzchak and the Bris Yehuda is that a check represents debt. It's a note. It's a debt from the bank to the individual who has deposited money in the bank. Assuming that there are funds in the account, then the bank owns the depositor money. And when the money writes a check, the psak of the Michas Yitzchak and the Bris Yehuda is that is no different than any other promissory note. It's a promissory note from the bank to Reuven. And Reuven is in turn, by writing out the check, transferring that debt to Shimon. And the position of the Michas Yitzchak and the Bris Yehuda and all the Gedolei Eretz Yisrael, as far as I know, is that it, as long as there are funds in the accounts, it is mutter to sell a check at a discount, even if it's your own check. Even if it's your own check. I said a minute ago, your own check. You can't sell your own promissory note. But you're not. You're selling debt that the bank owes you. The bank owes you money. And yes, the bank owes you money. You are now selling it and passing it on. This is the clout. In the case of when you sell debt, it is not necessary that the person, the third party, there are three parties to any mutter dicker transaction. There have to be three people: the original debtor, the seller, and the buyer. When I sell debt, someone owes me money, I sell debt to you, it doesn't have to be that the original debtor has money. It could be he wrote me out a promissory note, he has no money today, and I'm selling you the note. In the case of the bank, if I am selling you my check, there has to be money, because if there is no money, then the bank doesn't owe me anything. If the bank doesn't owe me anything, I can't sell it to you. So, what? Why would I do it? If the bank owes me money, I can go into the bank. It could be the bank is closed. It could be I need cash. It could be a post-dated check. Yes. No, according to the Matirin, if there's money in the bank, it could even be a post-dated check. Because remember, the whole point is I'm selling debt. So, that's the typical case. Yeah, enough, you know. If the bank doesn't have the cash. By law, the bank has to have cash on hand equal to 10% of their deposits. So, yes. All right, Lamaisa, the amounts of money, if it's not a multi-million dollar check, I think we assume that the bank has got cash on hand. And the truth is the bank doesn't even have to have cash. Because remember, all the heterim of selling debt is there's a debtor, a seller, and a buyer. The debtor does not have to have cash on hand. The debtor could write paper and owe money. And then the seller passes it on to the buyer. The only catch to selling debt, when you're selling third-party debt, is that the buyer must assume liability. The buyer has to assume liability, not if it's a fraud. If the paper is fraudulent, then it's a mekatos. If it's a fraudulent, as of the day of sale. But the buyer does have to accept liability. If you buy something, if you own debt, it means that you stand to lose if the debt is not paid. If, again, there's a debtor, and I'm a seller, and you're a buyer, if I sell you the paper and I guarantee it, then it's in effect still owned to me, just it's a mashkin that you have. The buyer has to assume liability. The Ksav Sofer's Kula last week was that the seller is allowed to guarantee if he chooses. He doesn't have to, but if that's the deal, he can guarantee that as of today, there are no problems. He can guarantee anything as of today, as of the day of sale. He can guarantee that the debtor has money, if he wants, and if the debtor doesn't have money, then he'll be liable. He can guarantee the debtor has no past record of bounce checks. He can guarantee anything he wants as of today. But the buyer, from the day he gets the note and on, has to assume liability. That's okay. Where it's his own check, according to those who are not here, selling your own check. If the bank owes you money, there the money has to be on account. If the bank owes me money and I'm passing on a check, I'm selling it at a discount, that would only be mutter if the money is in the bank. Otherwise, it's not a debt. And the buyer... What?
Even though I'm selling a post-dated check, but today I have to have money.
The money has to be available today. The buyer, I believe it could be post-dated as well. But the money has to be available today. There has to be money there today. There has to be debt. I have to sell the debt the bank owes me. The bank could be not obligated to pay. All paper.
When they give you the check in May, they don't have the money there.
Who?
The yeshiva.
Right. So when the yeshiva gives me a check, I can pass it on at a discount because that check does not represent the bank's debt to the yeshiva. The bank owes nothing to the yeshiva. It represents the yeshiva's debt to me. How much is it worth? I'm not sure. The yeshiva's debt to me, I can pass on at a discount. As long as there are three people, a debtor, a buyer, a debtor, a seller, and a buyer, then it's okay. The debtor and seller cannot be the same person. I can't write out my own check. A debtor and a seller can't be. If there's no money in the bank, I'm not selling debt. I'm just writing out a check. Then that's not... Then
the fact that you can cancel a check make any difference?
That is the issue that I spoke about last week that makes it confusing. The issue, my horror, and I don't say because these are all svarim that are printed and nobody that I know of makes any distinction between Eretz Yisrael and the United States. The fact that in the United States, as opposed to Europe and Eretz Yisrael, which has the British banking laws, in the United States, the check does not represent debt. In the United States, a check is nothing more than a letter to the bank asking them to give something. I am permitted by law to stop payment on a check for no good cause. I don't have to show cause. I can just stop payment. I don't even think the form tells you to fill out a reason. In Eretz Yisrael and in Britain, the law is that you can't stop a check unless you have what they call due course. You have to have a reason. You have to claim that there was some, that you were misled, or that there's some fraudulent activity that's taking place. You can stop a check. If you buy something, you say the thing I bought was bad, you can stop a check. But you have to have a reason. Without a reason to stop, you can't stop a check, and the bank in these countries, when you sell debt, it's taka true. You're selling the bank's debt to you. In America, it's confusing because of the fact that you're allowed to stop a check for any reason. You don't have to show cause, and that makes it confusing. It would seem that you're not passing on the debt. As I mentioned last week, on the other hand, if you tell the bank to stop a check and they fail to stop the check, they're not liable by law. Although banks routinely for their customers will make good on checks, law does not require them to. By law, if you tell them to stop payment, you fill out a form properly, and they neglect to do so, they're not liable. And that would be a raya to the mechasiyat for it. That's a raya that you did sell the debt. Because if you tell them to stop, although, like lechatchila, they're obligated to, but for the evidence, there's no liability. They don't have to stop. If they don't stop the check, they're not liable. That's a raya fakert, as I told you last week. That's a contradiction in the logic of the law, but it appears that it was drafted that way to, as a concession to the banking lobby, the consumer lobby. This was the compromise that was made. There's no consistent lumdis. Therefore, it's hard for me to say that what it says in all the Ribbis Svarim is incorrect, but at least it's a tzarchian on the law. But that's what makes it confusing. Again, the bottom line, the original rule is the kula, you're allowed to sell promissory notes that are notes where the debtor is a third party. You're not allowed to sell a promissory note where you're the debtor. If you're the debtor, what do you mean you're selling a promissory note at a discount? That's called ribbis.
You said you won't post-dated check to provide and get money in the bank. Now, could you turn around the next day and withhold the money from
there? I have to work through the question. I don't know. It's hard for me to sit here. These are confusing issues.
Otherwise,
I can't answer you. There would be a point if the banks are closed, it would be a point. Today you have ATM cards and get money. But okay, Nachinami said there'll be no point. I'm telling you Allah, I'm not telling you the I don't know.
I have $1,000 in the bank, I could write 10 checks for $1,000
No. I don't think so. You can can sell debt. You can't sell the same debt to 10 people.
You can't have money to count. You have the full amount or the money that you make.
You have to have, when you, if you want to sell your own check, the full amount of has to be a, has to be available, has to clear it, and it has to have cleared in the bank. I hope I made it a little clearer. I don't know. I hope I didn't confuse him more. But where? It's not illegal. It's not true. It's illegal to give a check with intent to bounce it. There's no. It's not illegal to change your mind later and decide to bounce it. It's, there's nothing in the law that prohibits it. That's my understanding. In other words, if I give a check, let's say I buy something, and it's good, I don't claim it's in bad shape. And I go to the bank, I say, stop the check, and I go to the to a person, I say, I'm returning it.
No, that I know. That's, I'm talking about all the money.
What?
I'm talking about when if you give the check when there's no money in the bank, that's illegal.
That's illegal, because you're fooling the person, and you're...
Does that have any impact on what you said?
I don't think so. I don't think so. My only ha'ara is that the heter is based, that the bank owes me money, when I give you the check at a discount, I'm passing on the debt. I'm out of the picture. The bank now owes you the money. If that were true, that the bank now owes you the money, I should no longer be able to instruct the bank to not pay. It seems that it's not that way. Okay, we return now to the main theme of Kuf Samach Aleph, which is the din of what happens afterwards. The Ribbis was already paid, and there's the question of what do you do now? So, Sif Beis, Avak Ribbis Eina Yoytze B'Deyanim. The word Avak, as it applies to Ribbis, is Derabanan. Refers to Ribbis Derabanan. Avak Ribbis Eina Yoytze B'Deyanim. Ribbis Derabanan is Eina Yoytze B'Deyanim. You can't go to Beis Din and compel someone to return it. V'imbal Lotzei Sidei Shemayim Chayiv Lahazir. But if somebody wants to be Yaisi Dei Shemayim, if somebody wants to do the proper thing, he should return it, except Milvad Zakti Rama, except Ribbis Mukdemes Umu Ucheres. Let me remind you, what's Ribbis Mukdemes? Ribbis Mukdemes is, before I ask you for a loan, I send you a gift ahead of time, with the intent to butter you up, so to speak, so that when I ask you for a loan, you'll be my friend. Ribbis Mucheres is after I pay the loan, subsequently, I send you flowers for Shabbos in appreciation for the loan. Ribbis Mukdemes and Mukheres is Mukumadik. If it's not Nikr that it's being done for that purpose, it would even be Mutlach Hatchila. If it's not Nikr, if it's not obvious, and I'm not saying so, but if it's Nikr, or I say that it's thanks for the loan, then it's Asur. And it's a more kuladika form of Ribbis Derabanan. And what we're saying here is that is no chiyuv lahachzer. I think I mentioned to you the case of the fellow who was in the grocery online. It happened to Shirley Rosenfeld. I always have to vindicate myself. All the stories I make up, you know, like I have to tell you who it was because people think I have good imagination. He was online in the supermarket and the person ahead of him forgot their money. And they had a grocery bill. So they asked him, can you lend me the money? He didn't know even the person's name. But it was from Yid, you know. So he lent him the money. And I suppose they switched phone numbers or addresses. And the person paid the grocery bill and went home. And Erev Shabbos, I think this was on a Thursday night. And Erev Shabbos, someone dropped off by them the money. And I forgot if they, I think it was flowers. They sent them flowers for Shabbos as well. So it was an appreciation. So, all right, if it's B'Shas Pirayin, it was Mohammed, but I remember it was Ribbis Mucheres, I guess they paid him, and then they sent him flowers for Shabbos. So he called me and he asked me whether he has to return the flowers. I told him, right after Shabbos, return them immediately, right? So I told you, we weren't allowed to take it. It's Ribbis Mucheres. However, Ribbis Mucheres, you really are not obligated to return. He said, you know, I knew right away it was a shaila when it was brought. They never had a mind to be kind in. I knew I'm going to call you right away. So I told him to return it. So there are three levels of Ribbis. There's Ribbis Deiraisa, where there's a chiyuv of Torah to return it. It's a mitzvah saseh, although Mechila helps. There's Ribbis Derabanan, where it's a chiyuv latzis yidei shemayim, which means you really have to return it, but teveir can't be teveir. And there's ribis mucheres and ribis mukdemes, which are kuladik, and there's not even a chiyuv latzis yidei shemayim. Once it's done, it's done. If you lend someone money and they send you a nice mishloach manis, it's obvious they wouldn't have sent it otherwise. That's ribis mucheres, and if it's if the money was paid, and it's ribis mucheres, then you don't. Once you received it, you shouldn't take it. But once you received it, and you realize afterwards, then there's no chiyuv to return it. So these are the three rules.
Is it to have it in your possession, your ID either?
No, it's not gezeila. Ribis deraisa is not gezeila. It's a mitzvah sasei to return it. How'd you like yechad and ichi? Learn out of a pasuk. That's why mechila helps. I should say that's why, but otherwise mechila wouldn't help. I mean, the kasha is, there's a kasha in the yeshiva world. Someone paid me ribbis, and now I realize it's ribbis. I have to return it. See, he's meichel, mechila helps. It's a very stark kasha. The mechila itself should be ribbis. Why is he meichel me? Because I lent him money. So why isn't the mechila itself ribbis? A very strong kasha, needs a hezbollah, but halacha is mechila help, so I'm going to do. But the kasha is, no, it's a good kasha. Mechila itself should be.
In the case of your flowers, let's say he returned it later, shouldn't he have to really return the value of the
kish value at the time he got it? If there would be a chiyuv to return it, he would really have to return the kish value at the time he got it.
Right. Not worth the same
thing. Yeah, except, you know, it's a tirchafim to return it. I don't think of him, he would have to call them and ask them to come pick it up. He's not obligated to go running after them. But yeah,
maybe it's like a dibbis barim. No, it's like this.
It has a value. It has a value. If it's yet to be done, it has a value. And it could be because it's a separate mitzvah essay, and it's not. It's not a monetary chiyuv. At any rate, this is the yeah. Okay, that's Rabbi Akiva Eiger. There's nice Rabbi Akiva Eiger. This rule is a rule. Baruch Hashem, it's not confusing. It's pretty much halacha psuka. Ribbis deraisa, you have to return. You have to put on him. Ribbis drabanan, you should return. It's latzis yidei shemayim. And I mentioned this in another context. I asked Rav Palm once. Actually, I went with Rabbi Yisbi. There was an issue that had come up, and we had a disagreement as what to say. And we agreed that din was latzis yidei shemayim. So Rabbi Yisbi said that we should tell him he's potter, but latzis yidei shemayim is chayiv. And I said we should tell him that he has to return it. And actually, I probably had heard it from Rav Palm. Rav Palm said that if somebody comes to a Rav and he has a Shaila, and Shulchan Aruch says, Latzis Yidei Shemayim, you have to return it. So the Rav tells him, you have to return it. Latzis Yidei Shemayim doesn't mean you're a good boy if you return it. It means you have to return it. Just doesn't, can't force you. Every person is Mechuyim, Latzis Yidei Shemayim. And therefore, Ribbis Drabbanan, you really, for practical purposes, you must return. Just that person can't compel somebody who says, I don't care. Now here there's an interesting Rabbi Akiva Eiger.
Both
bring it, right.
So what do they hold you accountable?
It's hard for me to answer the question. I have not yet experienced the Bezin Shomayla. And to my recollection, who knows, you know. But, you know, I don't like to. I have this thing, I don't want to believe I'm a Gilgul. I don't know why. I have this negativity believing it. Latzis Yidei Shemayim means that you have to do it. Mechusrei Amunah, it says in the Paiskim, I mentioned yesterday in Shul, if you have a verbal agreement to sell something to someone, you back out, Mechusrei Amunah, but you're chayef to do it. Mechusrei Amunah, they ask you, Nasata v'nasata be'amunah. So that's the first, one of the first questions. If you're Mechusrei Amunah, you say, no, I was Yaitu Latzis Yidei Shemayim, I was Yaitu Yidin Yanov Yaitu B'dayanim, and I wasn't Yaitu, you know. You know, the Olam Haba is also not Yaitu B'dayanim. You know, it's also Yidei Shemayim. I said you have to do it. So it's better to say you have to do it, yeah. I told him you have to do it, and that was my instruction. If you have a bezdin, we're tying him. If a person wants shuras hadin, then shuras hadin.
Okay, let's talk about the comment. Pratim zayarda mechay. Doesn't he want to say mechay? But then ishamayim.
The perka kainis. There are a bunch of things. Grama is the most famous. That's chay b'dinei shamayim. I can't answer you fully. The Teretz runs with the idea that if you accept this mahalach, that ribis, when I pay you ribis, and dinei mamon, it's your money. When I'm meichel, I'm not meichel the money. Money is your money. There's a mitzvah asay of v'chai b'hem, which is independent. When I'm meichel the v'chai b'hem, it turns out you're keeping the money. But it's your money anyway. There's a separate mitzvah asay. When I'm meichel it, the person has a return, he's missing the mitzvah asay. It's like when I'm a chabad of kayin to bench in my house. Kayin says, I'm meichel. So he could be Michael, but then I'm going to be out the mitzvah. You know, it's unless you're tiny or some tiny, they'll be mechabit him, you're already doing the mitzvah. Could be. But I'm out the mitzvah if I don't do it. Parshas have to do it. So, what?
That's the reason why. Because when you don't do an essay, it doesn't bring that, it's just missing from the world. And yeah. That's more serious than
the law to say, okay. All right. Because it's missing it. Bottom line,
it's a very strong.
All right. Okay, good. All right. Kivega here has a looks like a simple thing, but really a very fascinating concept. Kivega, which starts Sif Beis, three lines on the bottom. Avak ribis eni yaitse b'dayam. There are two halves to this. I'm talking now about the first line and a half. Im aloiva nosan havak ribis l'shliach da hamalva. There's a shliach. The loiva gave the havak ribis to the malva shliach. The malva sent someone to collect from me, and I gave him the flowers, and he's bringing it, or I gave him whatever the ribis deraisa was. Yesh leimer. The ein shliach l'dvar aveira v'loizacha hamalva. When the shliach has the money in his hands, the malva was not zaycha because ain't shliach d'var avela. V'yachal haloiva loyma sheyuchzaloi, and the loyva could say, give it back. Not only the loyva could say, the shliach himself, if he has a shayla, we tell him you have to give it back. It's ribis, and even ribis d'rabbanon ain't shliach d'var avera. We paskin is even by an avera d'rabbanon, and therefore, when the shliach has it, he has to return it. What is the question in the Shaila. And Rav Kivega paskins, because Chuvah says the same thing in Gimel. Is it Gimel? No.
In Beis.
And Beis says the same thing, just he brings it from the Marit. I'm Chuvah's Marit. He also brings it. Rav Kivega also says it's in Marit. Linyin im loy gava amalva atmei esavak ribis rak acher kibbul bishvilai kas loy zoch amalva v'yaza L'loiva d'schiyam etar shlichasu v'kaimelon ein shlichu d'var avera. Chosu tais perakam nitsiyah d'ei mais of klum. I'll tell you what this is. Yeah, we pass him by the Rabbanans also in shlichu d'var avera. It's not true, they are, we show them all differently, but we pass him, everyone pass him in shlichu d'var avera by the Rabbanans. I'll tell you what it's totally in. It's totally in one of the big shlichus tumults of the generations. And that is the following. I'll tell you the case just to make it easier rather than just the lumdis. The case where this broke out into a machlaikis in sections of Europe was in a case where somebody wanted to give a get to his wife. His wife refused to accept the get. It actually stretched on for a number of years. And the wife refused to accept the get. Finally, the man said, look, the get bakarchach is chal. If I force the get into the woman's rishus, it's chal. Just as a chem rabbeinu gershim, that a person is not allowed to give a get bakarchach of his wife. Therefore, the man said, you know what? Chem rabbeinu gershim, the get is chal, but he has it. Rabbeinu gershim, now I'll give your wife a get bar karcha, but if you do, the get is a good get. So the man decided he had enough of this lady, and he's just going to give her a get bar karcha. But but he wasn't a hoodlum enough to do it. So he hired a couple of strong fellas to go over to the woman and to force the get into her hand, and that she should accept the get physically. I don't know exactly how they did it, and you know, maybe they held her hand behind her back and they stuck it into her pocket or something. However they did it, the tshuva doesn't bring the details. They gave a get bar karcha. The man now went and he wanted to remarry. The woman also wanted to remarry. They felt they were magurashis. The Noid of Yehuda said, it's not a get. He said, Ein shliach l'dvar aveira. It's a dvar aveira to give a get bar karcha. Chayim Raveinu Gershom is brought in Shulchan Aruch. If the man had given the get bal karcha, then in Achinami would be chal. But ain't shliach is varaveira. You can't give a get without the shlichus of the baal. If I write a get to someone else's wife and I give it and I write the husband's name, he's not mekureshes. You need shlichus. The aveira is violating chayim Raveinu Gershom, which is halach psuk in Shulchan Aruch. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda said, ain't shliach is varaveira, and the get is not a get, and the man is not allowed to marry, the woman is not allowed to marry, they have to do a new get. This was Nadi Yehuda's psak. It's printed in Nadi Yehuda Kama, I think Tshuva Pei Gimel or so, and the next seven or eight tshuvas are all on this topic. The very next tshuva is a very interesting tshuva. This is the one from Rabbi Yitzchak Halevi Horowitz. We have a bachar upstairs, Yitzchak Halevi Horowitz. I told him about the tshuva, he ran to learn it. And Yitzchak Halevi Horowitz was a mechutan of the Neid Yehuda, a mechutanim. And he was a rav, he was known by his city. He had a name. And other tshuvas on this topic refer to him by his city name. I don't remember the name. And he writes Yud Beis Rayas, 12 Rayas or 13 Rayas, that Neid Yehuda made a mistake. What is a shlichus varaveira? There are two parts to shlichus. One part of shlichus is that I get credit for what you did. If I can't do bedikas chametz, I tell you be baidik for me. I get credit ki'ilu I did it. If I can't light a menorah, I can't light neir Shabbos and make a shliach to light for me, I get credit ki'ilu I did it. That's shlichus. If I would tell a guy to light it, or I tell a guy to be baidik, and shliach l'guy, and shliach l'kot, I wouldn't get credit. If I send someone for a dvar aveira, I don't get the punishment. The punishment doesn't accrue to me. That's a din in the gavra, a din in the person. Shlichus, kindness of Horowitz, is a din in the gavra. The schar, his schar goes to the mishalayach. His einish goes to the mishalayach. Ein shlichus dvar aveira abolishes that. There's a second aspect to shlichus, and that is that shlichus allows a chalais. Allows a fact to happen. That's not true by lighting a menorah. It's not true by bedikas chametz. It's true in three or four areas where you need a shliach to make the chalais happen. For example, gittin. Nobody could give a get except for the husband. If someone else is giving, the get is not chal unless he's a shliach. Kedushin. No one can give kedushin unless he's a shliach of the mekadesh. Otherwise he can't. Kinyanei Mamon, I can't sell someone else's house. What right do I have to sell someone else's house? Shlichus says Shlichus Shalom Kamaise to make the chalois happen. And then the fourth area is, you can call it five, Hegdish, Truma, things that have a chalois in Kedusha. I can't separate Truma for you. Shlichus makes that I could separate Truma for you. I can't make your behema Hegdish. Shlichus makes that I could say your behemah is hegdish. So I think these are the four areas, perhaps Yibum as well, but basically three areas: the Ebenezer areas, Gittin, Kedushin, Yibum, Yichalitza, and the Chayshemishpat areas, Kinyanim, and the Kachim areas of Hegdish and Trumas and Maisus. Rav Horowitz Tainis, and this is actually Shitas on the Sivis, that Ein Shlech Edvar Aveira is only in the Dine HaGavra, in the Ein Shim that would accrue to the Mishalayach. They don't Ein Shlech Edvar Aveira, except for the two areas, Me'ila and wherever shlichus is chal v'aravera and tala v'hei. But otherwise, ein shlichus v'aravera. For the chalais is chal. For that, shlichus still exists. That is the taina of Rav Horowitz. He brings 12 or 13 rayas, and the Nevi Yehuda prints his entire tshuva with all the rayas and the taikif of the feeling of this Rav Horowitz. And he prints it in the tshuva, and then he prints his response. His response is very, very sharp. The letter starts, my dear friend, I see that you're not interested in truth, you're just interested in being right. Mishum avas hanetzachin, that's a phrase that the Nebu used. Kosafta, everything you wrote is Mishum avas hanetzachin, because a Talmud Chacham like you would never make so many mistakes if you were looking for the emes. And he, what? Mechutin, yes, Mechutin. I always remember with this. What? Mechutin before, right? It's interesting, I once saw Rabbeinu Yaina's letter to the Ramban. Very, very sharp. The Rabbeinu Yaina held that you're not allowed to be a doctor for Goyim. And there's Gemara, it seems to answer it. The Ramban was a doctor, and he healed Goyim, and he delivered babies for Goyim. And that was the Ramban. Rabbeinu Yaina, I would say it's a famous letter. It's not a famous letter. This line is famous. The Chida and Shema Gedolim brings it. The Ramban, Rabbeinu Yaina, his letter to the Ramban writes, when he signs off, as he signs off, Rabbeinu Moshe, Marbe Zera Amalek. That's how he signs it. The Rabbeinu Moshe, Marbe Zera Amalek. And that's how he writes to him. Afterwards, I found out Rabbeinu Yaina, the Ramban, was Mechutanim. Ramban's daughter married Rabbeinu Yaina's son. But, what? No, not the question.
Is that the
Eastern
like the
Chanaim? What?
Whatever.
The Eastern is, you're right. But anyway, getting back. What? That's right. It was before the Shari Tshuva. But, 1 minute. I don't want to get off track. This issue is a very interesting issue. Now, if Yehuda goes through, if you have the time, you know, certain things I tell boys in my shia sometimes. If you haven't not in the mood to learn, learn this stifler. You know, sit down on the couch with this stifler. This type of Yehuda, you can't do it on the couch. You have to sit down with a pen or a piece of paper. But what I did is I listed the rayas, the 12 rayas. Some of them you see right away, but a number of them, like one raya is a very interesting raya. There's a Mishnah in Gittin that says you can make a shliach to be Meshachar and Evakanani. Mishnah doesn't say you could. The Mishnah has a case. Someone made a shliach to Meshachar and Evakanani and he wants to be Chayza Bay. Could it be Chayza? Do you say Tenkeschi? So he says, what do you mean? Lailam Bam Tavaydu, there's an Isra say to be Meshachar and Evakanani. So you see, by Advar Avera, Shlichus Chal. It's one of his rayas. There's a number of rayas from Gittin. Obviously, all his rayas have to be from either Gittin Kedushin or Kinyanim or Truma. Or he says, Truma, he has a raya. If you send someone to be mafrish, minara ala yofa, so it's chal. The Mishnah talks, if you send to mafrish, minara ala yofa, he's mafrish, not meira, he's mafrish from, so is it chal? But meira ala yofa, it's chal. It's also an Isser Torah. The Torah says it's chal, but it's an Isser say to mafrish, minara ala yofa. So that's his raya, chalois is chal. That's his right. If the chalais wouldn't be chal, there'd be no avera. I'm not talking if you kill someone, the chalais is chal because he's dead. We're talking where halacha, you need shlichus to make the chalais. We're talking only in these cases, getting kedushin and chalitza or kinyanim or hegdish v'truma. And these in Yanim, we need a chalais. Dead, he's dead. It's a Messias, he's dead. What are you going to do? Yeah, but there's no mitzvah that it should be chal me'aral ha'yafah. No mitzvah should be chal shichur avadim. So he brings 12 rayas. It's very interesting. It's fascinating. When you go through, the Yehuda pretty much goes in order of the rayas, a little out of order in the middle. There's one raya where he writes, and it was very interesting to me. He writes, on this raya, I really shouldn't answer you. Anybody who reads my answer will see that you don't know how to learn Gemara. You know, such a lashon that atataya belimara gemara. But He writes, so really I shouldn't write, it's not for your kavod, people are going to see you make such a big mistake. However, he says, I know people, when they read the two tshuvas, he writes, they're going to make a list of all your rayas, are going to make a list of what I answered, they're going to see one raya I didn't answer, they're not going to look into the guf ha-sugya. They're just going to say, oh, Rabbi Yehuda couldn't answer one raya, he skipped it. He says, therefore, regretfully, I have to answer, as I explained to you, you learned the Gemara wrong. That's what he writes. What's interesting, if you have the Rabbi Yehuda with the Likutei Aris in the back, the Rabbi Yehuda, that raya learnt Rav Horowitz's raya wrong. In other words, the way he learned his raya, he thought he made a mistake in the Gemara. But actually, he meant something else, which is more of a raya. But be that as it may, this machloikis, if any shliach of the varavera abolishes a chalois kinyan, is a machloikis, and this is all night via the kama, a number of tshuvas in there. Near the Basra, he has at least one additional tshuva on this, and there are a number of subsequent tshuvas. Ramesha was asked, halacha lemaisa, one of his tshuvas in Chayshim Mishpat. Ramesha writes, I refuse to get into a discussion of the rayas. It's a halacha psuk already in Klal Yisrael, like the night of Yehuda. And shliach is aravera, there's no chalais, and you can't open it for discussion. It's not something that's open for discussion. It's already something where a number of achrayim weighed in with the Navi Yehuda, Rabbi Kiva Eger, and Gittin on that Mishnah says like Navi Yehuda, he has the same kasha. How can you make a shliach for shichur avodim ayitun aveira? And he says it's possible in one of the exceptions. There are cases where you're allowed to be Meshachar and Eved for Dvar Mitzvah or for money, you're allowed to. There are cases where it's Mutter, and that's how he says Pshat in the Mishnah. Rekiva Eger, the Ktsais, the Stipel also has a long tshuva on it, a long piece on it, and he writes also that that the Sivis and the Rav Horowitz are Das Yachid, and the Alach is like Neid Behuda. Yeah, but there you don't need shlichus. There you don't need shlichus. Even if a guy did it or a monkey did it, there's no shlichus to a guy. The fact you did it with a shliach has repercussions only as far as whether you're chayiv to pay. Whether you're chayiv to pay a hezek sheni nikah, which you're supposed to pay.
The responsibility of the liability doesn't devolve upon the
because that's a physical tumah, is a physical mitzvah. It's the same as killing someone. You can say the chalais nachal, but he's dead, right? But tumah is the same thing. It's a mitzvah. Even if a monkey did it, it would be chal tumah.
But on whom does the liability devolve?
On the liability. So that will say in shlichut varaveira, and the einish scharva einish, that would definitely say in shlichut varaveira, and it's not chal. Yes. Yes.
Well,
what's interesting is if you say there's no shlichus, it's not chal, then there's no aveira.
So who is the aveira on? The aveira is on the baal. Is there an actual aveira on the shliach for doing that?
I would think so. To give a get back karcha. If you hold it's not chal, there's no aveira. What's he doing? He's just doing a ma'aseh kuf ba'alma. It's not chal. So there's no aveira. It's not happening. She's not megureshes. If you hold like Rav Horowitz, that it's chal. See, he taines that the einish doesn't go back to the baal. The einish is on the shliach, but the chalais is chal anyway. This, yeah. I don't think in Rabbeinu Gershom there's a difference. It could be. The truth is, Rav Yehuda has other aspects to this tshuva. To the discussion. This is the main issue, but there are other aspects to the discussion. It could be that this is mentioned. I don't recall.
You say shlichut aveira, so it's like gabi asay, or maybe only gabi aveira.
Even gabi asay,
it doesn't matter. Probably nobody.
You know the Gemara. Gemara says by sirtach. Rabbi Shammai holds yes shlichut aveira by sirtach.
Right,
and we pass
on
it.
So nobody probably holds it sadly because they shlichut aveira. Katz is shlichus is gans in the store. So no halai solta.
This marid, this. Yeah, there's shlichus bechalitza. There's all tumul of the shlichus bechalitza in a case where the chaylut is a gidim. That's there are those who say there's no shlichus bechalitza because the Gemara says gidim hei chaylut. So therefore, there are achrayim who say there should be no shlichus by chalitza, because otherwise. The others answer that called the yulei matziyav yulei matzi mashu shliach, and that itself is a bit of a tumah. I think we passed that there is shlichus by chalitza, and you know where I discussed it when Yoav killed Avner. How did he kill Avner? He sold him gedemes hayachalata, so he bent down to show you could do chalitza with the teeth. So at that time, I said, weirdest thing in the world. So gedemes hayachalata, so say with his teeth. You have to bend down, show him he could do it with his teeth. So I explained then that there's a whole tumul gedemes hayachalata. Why can't a gedemes do it with chalitza? The Gemara says, oh, Tumul, why can't he do it? So those who want to say, call the Yulei Matzi Yavid, Yulei Matzi Masha Shliach. So the others, Taino, what do you mean Yulei Matzi Yavid? You could do it with a Shliach. Yulei Matzi Yavid, you could do it with his teeth. They'll say, you can't do it with your teeth. Well, how you do chalitza with your teeth? Comes a question of Metzias. Could you do it with your teeth? Can't you do it with your teeth? So it could be that you have told Avner, what do you mean you can do it with your teeth? You can't do chalitza with your teeth. Be that as it may, that getting back to this room, this Rebbe Akiva Eiger is a raya to the Nadi Yehuda. Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar says, "Ain shliach dvar aveira," and when the shliach takes the ribbis, it's not chal. There's no chaloit on the. It's not chal. The leiva could say, "Give it back to me," because ain shliach dvar aveira. According to this, the nesivis and this Rabbi Yitzchak Horowitz, it wouldn't be this way. The shliach goes, takes the ribbis on behalf of the malva sent him. He picks up the ribbis. He gets it. He's kind of for the malva. The Avera is only the Shliach, not the Malva. The Chalois, according to him, would be Chal, would become the Mamin Shalom Malva.
But here the Shliach is doing an Avera. If you said the Shliach was about Avera, so the Malva gets an Avera because the Shliach picked it up, the Malva
is no. No, the Shliach has the Avera and the Malva has the money, according to him. The Malva has the money, Shliach has the Avera. That's what comes out. So Rabbi Kiva Eger here, like I said, is a interesting, you say, the second half also sounds like it has an interesting tie-in to an interesting Yisoid, but I don't know what the Yisoid might be. The second half of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, in Nishba Lefroya Lai Ribbis Rabbanan. You hear the case. So let me. The second half of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, in Nishba Lefroya Lai Ribbis Rabbanan. You hear the case. So let me. The Shvua that he's going to pay Ribbis Rabbanan. What do you do now? I am B'tshuvas Rashba. The Chai of Lefraya of a B'tshuva Saran Loi Kosav Kain. Loi Kosav Kain, I don't think it means he didn't write it. I think it means he disagrees. What is this Machlokes Tali in? I'm not sure. I have to go back to Masechtas Nedarim. Nishba to be over Nisa Durabanan. Usually when someone swears to be over at Durabanan, is Ashua Nachal Mushbavayim, or even on Ashua Durabanan. This is talking about, I don't know why this is different. I can't answer you when it's Tolian, but maybe that's all for the better, so we can continue in the Yanei Ribbis. But I'm sure. No, but they're both the Rabbanans. Yeah, we do say Mushba by
the first part of the
Kiva
have to do with
first part is maybe Yehuda, because according to Rav Horowitz, if I send the shliach to pick up ribbis for me, once he gets it, the chalais is chal. The leiva can't retract. The Rav Kivega is saying that the leiva could take the money back. You could say in shliach dvar aveira, and when the shliach took it, it didn't become mine yet.
Oh, so that's a
riot. So that's a riot, and that the chalais is also not. This is interesting. Pesach Tshuva Gimel, Lassis Yidei Shamayim, I'm Shulis Beis Yaakov Shekasa. The chol adinim and niskarim b'shasu b'paiskim. The part of medina yadav v'chayev lasis de shemayim. Anything you'll find anywhere in shas that yichayev lasis de shemayim, heichashu mishalim. If the person pay mishum shesavar shachayev medina yadam, v'ene chayshish lasis de shemayim. V'amar b'feirish shemishalim mishum zeh shesavar shachayev medina yadam. Aser lechaveray lekablam. Interesting. He says, one second. All right. What he says is, if you pay someone, the first party is not a cash. First, he says that if the person is beferish, I don't want to pay you, but I'm only paying you because I'm a chuyiv too. Then that's a toss. That's taken for toss. And you have to tell him, you're not chayav b'dinei adam, you're chayav b'dinei shemayim. The second part, he says, afilu umazal leistam, atzarech leidiyai, shupata b'dinei adam. So that sounds not like what Rav Pam told me. You just tell him he's mechuyav to pay. Rav Pam told me was that if a person comes to a rav and asks a shayla, he's asking him, what do I do? If he goes to Beis Din, if he goes to a Beis Din venue, so then he's going to Din Torah and he's going to be Dinei Mamonis. Person asks a rav a shayla, is this kosher? So it's not asking, is he Yaitse B'dayanim? He's asking him, halacha, what should I do? So I heard a nice part in Parshas Yisrael. It says, Yisrael says, Lashon Yavayu Eilecha. And when they have a Dover Gadol, Yavayu Eilecha, and Dover Katin Yishbetuhe. Moshe Rabbeinu said, a Bo Eilai. It's a Din Torah, Bo Eilai, Lashon Yachid. Yisrael said, Yavayu Eilecha. What's the difference? See, so, I forgot who says this. So, they say that Yisrael said, Yavayu Eilecha. Two people have a Sichsuch. He says, I'm right. They have to come and argue. Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, boy, lie. I don't have those kind of Dinei Torahs. Every time a Yid comes to me, he says, look, I have money. I don't know if I'm allowed to keep it. What do I do? It's a different shayla. When they come, they're having, everyone wants the money. Like, unfortunately, today we have Yisrael's type of Dinei Torah where both sides just want it, so then that's bad. If you have an argument in... if I cared, we each side just wants to do the right thing. That's boy lie, right? Somebody comes to me and says, can I keep this money? So I think that's what Rapam was saying. Rapam, if they go to Dintara, go to Dintara. They go to a Rav and they ask him what's the right thing to do. So they're, yeah.
Isn't it because
you feel like Mishamanani? You have to tell him? I don't think it's like Mishamanani. Mishamanani is. Okay, it's not exactly, it's similar, but it's not technically. I don't think you mean that it's identical. Gimel, Avak Ribis, in Tafas Loiva, Mishel Malva, Mafkina Minei. Avak Ribis, if the Loiva grabs repayment from the Malva, Mafkina Minei, then he has to give it back. So if the Shachs have gotten Dalit, Nira, Dafka Avak Ribis, Lukuli Alma. That's something that everyone agrees is Ribbis Drabbana and you can't grab it. Aval Hecha, the Yesh Machloikis Bein HaPoiskim, Yehava Avak Ribbis, a Ribbis Ketsutza, Eimaitziya Mehalaiva Itafas. There are certain situations which are Machloikis, if it's Ribbis Deiraisa, it's Ribbis Drabbana. The most famous being something called Tzad Echad Beribbis. I never mentioned to you the topic of Tzad Echad Beribbis. It's a separate topic. It's a common issue. Machlokes of Ribbis Deiraisa, Ribbis Drabbanan, and I'm going to leave it to Mitzvah Hashem for next week to discuss what Tzad Echad Beribbis is. However, the basic idea of this shach is a concept in Dinei Mamonis called Kimli.
Like this.
It's a very interesting rule in Chayshe Mishpat. In Chayshe Mishpat, there are a lot of issues that are machlokes more so than anywhere else. Why? Because when you learn your Aridea, basically any shayla a woman calls with, no new shaylas, they're somewhere in your Aridea. If they're not in your Aridea, they're in the Chochmas Adam. You know, you can only have fleishiks and meluchiks and parah. I mean, how many variables are there? Chayshe Mishpat, nothing, almost nothing, is mefurish in halacha. Almost every case has variations, especially bizman hazeh, where business is so sophisticated. There's a concept of kimli. I'll give you an example of Kimli. For example, there's a machlaikis hapaiskim. I mentioned yesterday in shul a shayla. When a shayl becomes chayiv. If you lend me something, I'm a shayl. I then become responsible for it, and I have to pay. You all know a shayl is very, very chamer. What happens if I meet you in the street? And you lend me your car. And you say, here are the keys to the car. You can take the car, take good care of it. And you walk off. And 15 minutes, I go into a store. 15 minutes later, I come out. And bang, the car is damaged. You know, a rock fell from the top of the building. And it damaged the car. Somebody was driving, banged into the car. Shayil, chayiv, and everything. You know, so I'm chayiv. There's a machlaikis. I mentioned yesterday in shul that people don't know, but a shayil is not chayiv until he's kind of the car, until he does a kinyan. What's a kinyan? I'm not willing to get into the argument now. But certainly in this case there was no kinyan, and many rishayim hold when I'm kind of the car. Other rishayim hold, no, as soon as the shayil walks away, the mashal walks away, the shayil is chayiv. As soon as he walks away, same thing by a shaymer. What? Mesiris Mafteach is only by karka. There's no Mesiris Mafteach by kalim. That's not enough to be mechayiv. If you give the one second, the point I want to make is this: there's a rule of kimli. Kimli means that the person amaytim mechaveri all of a riot. The one in possession has a right to say, Kimli, I owe like this shita, and I don't want to pay. That's Kimli. Any machlaikis, they can't find the machlaikis are place. Can you go, you find some favorfin, a tshuva, and then we'll argue what's called favorfin, who's favor, who's not. But if it's a shita brought down in Shulchan Aruch, either in the Mechaber, or in the Shach, or in the Sma, or in the Rebbe Kiva Eger, if there's a bona fide shita, then hope like you could say Kimli and you're putter from paying. And this is a major inyan in Dine Mammon. I recently had a sichsuch between two sides, and there were two points of argument. One point was over a relatively small amount of money, a couple of $100, and the other point was over the etzem business dealing, which was in the thousands of dollars. The hundreds of dollars issue was something similar to a Kimli. And what I basically told them was, we have to make the other calculation first. Whoever owes money to the other can say Kimli and deduct those few $100. Because it could go both ways. The issue could go both ways. It's called Kimli. I have this old problem when I started learning Chashem Mishpat. What Kimli means? What does Kimli mean? I hold like this Shita, Yeshkayach. Why do you hold like this Shita? Kimli, I hold this shita because it works out well for me. That's Kimli? To me it sounds strange. Shulchan Aruch, it says that a Mulzik could say Kimli. If the Mulzik learns to the Sugya, he says Kimli, I understand. But here you can have a Mulzik, and one Dintayr is going to say Kimli like the shita, the other Tayr is going to say Kimli like the other shita. How does that work? I don't know. The way it seems to work today in Shulchan Aruch, in Halacha, is that a person can say Kimli without being a Lamdin. And what? The rule is really, because Kimli doesn't mean Kimli. It means Hamaiti Mechaveir Olav Araya. If it's a Machlaikis, a bona fide Shitas, he can't be Maiti for me. I don't really have to say Kimli, I Paskin this way. I could say Hamaiti Mechaveir Olav Araya, you have to prove, and you can't prove it, that two Shitas in Shulchan Aruch. This Shach is saying that Nakuda. He's saying that when there's a Machlaikis of Ribbis, there's a Vak Ribbis, or Ribbis to Rabbanan. So whoever's a Muzik will win. If the ribbis was paid, and the person has the ribbis, now they're having a din tyra, he could say, Kimli, I hold it to Mr. Rabbanan. I'm not obligated to return it. Dayanim can't force me to return it. If the person who paid the ribbis was typhus, he's a mukzik, so he could say, Kimli, it's ribbis teraisa. So Shach is saying that anything which is a machlaik is ribbis teraisa, ribbis to Rabbanan, that you could do, mukzik could say Kimli. Now, what? The Malva could grab it back. Could grab it back. All right. The issue of Tzarecha Beribis, it's Mokim is not here. But we are not going to learn all Hilchus Ribis. And therefore, next week, I would like at the beginning to discuss, just as a aside from this Shach, the issue of Tzarecha Beribis, what it is, and then Mitzvah Hashem will try to finish this.